Lord, we thank you for your written word, such that we can see what you say. We thank you too, Lord, for your Holy Spirit working in our hearts, such that we can receive what you say, hear with our hearts. Please help us to do that by your power and for your name's sake. Amen. Please sit down. We continue a series called One-to-One, looking at one-to-one conversations between Jesus and others in John's Gospel. And we come to John chapter 12 and a one-to-one between Jesus and Judas. It's brief and unexpected and sharp. Some conversations are like that, aren't they? Suddenly someone says something and you're put on the spot. Where did that come from? What do you say? You want to respond. You need to respond. But how? Well, let's look at the setting before the brief conversation. In chapter 12, I'm on page 109 in the Church Bibles, New Testament section. Chapter 12 of John starts 6 days before the Passover. Jesus came to Bethany. So John gives the setting. It's Passover, and it's a bit ominous. You know it's important because he's already said this a few verses before. He's sort of repeating the point. Can you see in 55 of 11? Now the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went up from the country to Jerusalem before the Passover, to purify themselves. They were looking for Jesus and asking one another, "What do you think? Surely he won't come to the festival, will he?" Now the chief priests and Pharisees had given orders that anyone who knew where Jesus was should let them know so that they might arrest him. It's Passover and it's ominous. In fact, 6 days before Passover is where we pick up the story, 12. He came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he'd raised from the dead. That was chapter 11. There they gave a dinner for Jesus. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. So 6 days before Passover, that's the day before Palm Sunday. Palm Saturday, I sometimes call it. Jesus is at his usual bed and breakfast with his friends who lived in Bethany for the big festival in Jerusalem, which was just down the road. That's who he stayed with, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And Martha is serving dinner. Lazarus is mentioned twice as the one who Jesus had raised from the dead. And Mary, the other sister, is about to do something rather dramatic. Verse 3. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Now, in one way, this was quite normal. Guests' feet were often washed by the hosts before the meal. But in another way, this was not normal at all. She washed his feet with expensive perfume. And the point is made several times. It was a pound of perfume, a very large amount. Costly perfume, it says. Pure, it made of pure nard. Really good stuff. And the house was filled with the smell. It was such a lot of quality perfume. Why? Why? That's what everyone was thinking. Why? Well, Judas didn't think for long because he was so unimpressed. Unimpressed with Mary that... And so he decided to make her look bad. He was going to shame her. verse 4. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" So Judas, obviously things going on inside his head that, that appears later on, doesn't it? Feeling the need to make himself sound good, "I care about the poor," in order to try to make Mary look bad. She doesn't care about the poor. It is a bit like, is it called virtue signaling? Saying something to make us sound virtuous, often at the expense of someone else who we do our best to make look bad. Now, some people are naturals at this sort of put down. Some think it's clever. But it's about as clever as the dog that visited a flea circus and stole the show. Sorry. John points out that Judas's motivation is severely flawed. And John knew Judas. They were both members of the 12 disciples. He says in 6, "Judas said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it." But let's get back to the conversation. Judas thought he had spoken to Mary, and she was probably most taken aback, confused that one of the close friends of Jesus had a go at her, confused, probably upset at being shamed, maybe distressed that her bold action, trying to show her devotion to Jesus, had been misinterpreted. So Judas thought he had spoken to Mary, but it was Jesus who responded. He was not going to let Judas get away with that. Picking on someone in a vulnerable position for no good reason, and making it sound like he was standing on moral high ground, when that was far from the case. It's no good. So Jesus was straight in there. Verse 7. "Leave her alone," he says. "She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial." And also, he did tackle the issue that Judas had raised in a rather loaded way, which was helping the poor. And in verse 8, Jesus said straight away, you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." So, what's Jesus saying here? Well, what's he saying about the poor first? It's not all that clear. And some think Jesus might be saying, there will always be poor people. So don't worry about helping the poor. It won't make much difference. But that can't be right. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus assumes all of his followers will give to help people who are poor. And he looked out for the needy. So Jesus won't have changed his mind. So it must be saying something more like this: giving to the poor is important, and will always be important, because there's always poor people. But Mary has recognized that there is something even more important right now. Jesus says, "My death is even more important." And he credits Mary's large amount of perfume, top stuff, as the sort of thing which will be needed when his body is embalmed and laid in a tomb. That's the connection. My death, Jesus is saying, is even more important. And Mary has pointed to it powerfully, very powerfully. And it's coming soon, implies Jesus. Do you get that? That Jesus' death is even more important than important things like helping the poor. John, the gospel writer, gets it. He spends a lot of this part of his gospel preparing us for the most important thing about Jesus, his death. Lots of references to it in this section of the gospel. And his resurrection. Resurrection was also part of the picture, particularly in this section, thanks to the presence of Lazarus. And this is what's having a big effect on lots of people. Verse 9 and following. When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. Jesus' power over death was causing many to lay aside their other beliefs and believe in him. Jesus' death and resurrection would be the thing that enables people to be saved from the just deserts of our sinfulness and raised instead to the place only Jesus deserves to be, as he gives his righteousness to us. Jesus' death, more important than important things like helping the poor. Mary knew it instinctively. Judas didn't want to know it. Jesus wanted everyone to know, and especially Judas. What about us? Do we acknowledge how important Jesus' death is? And do we show it like Mary did? It's worth the whole jar of all her best perfume, which, it says in the note, cost a year's wages. And it's worth much more than that. Even more important than helping the poor is showing that we value Jesus' death as most important. And show him, show Jesus personally, whoever else wants to have a go at us for doing it. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this one-to-one. Thank you for the way in which you stuck up for Mary and you tackled Judas in that difficult moment. Please help us in our one-to-ones, Lord, to mention the things that are most important. And please, Lord, help us. Help us to show you what we know to be most important. For your name's sake, amen.